Seamus, continuing the conversation here a little bit, there's a couple things I just wanted to ask you about as well. And the first one goes back to what we talked about in our main interview and thinking about how your story relates to broader social issues. And we talked a lot about policies regarding drugs and substance abuse and how that's handled. I also wanted to think about what we do as a society, maybe what we do in the schools regarding LGBTQ issues, because obviously your coming of age and struggling with that it had a huge role in your experiences with your substance abuse. So are there things that you see or have thoughts about, I don't know if it's at the level of public policy or maybe just the way that schools orient themselves that might help?
Yeah, I think that I'm sure I'll get some tweets about like pushing the gay agenda. But I think that parents and schools are probably two of the most important places where change can happen or like awareness can really be increased that could have a really profound effect on the LGBTQ community, particularly youth. And yeah, going back to like those the Trevor Project statistics mm-hmm. I was talking about earlier, kids who come from families where parents aren't accepting have a much higher likelihood of self-harm, whether that's like a suicide attempt or just reckless behavior like or a substance abuse issue. So I think that like schools could work to make the environment within the school more inclusive and to kind of make it a very normal thing to talk about and to kind of destigmatize it in terms of just like, I don't know. I mean, I think even like a lot of schools read books. I'm forgetting the name of it, but like that book about the two gay penguins who have like an egg together. And I think like something like that sounds so silly, but I think to like a 6-year-old who might be having – I feel like by the time you're 6, you already start to like realize that you feel different or whatever. And I think that like having just those little moments that make it not a big deal are so important. And then I think the older you get, first of all, I think schools should up their sex education in general. Mm. But particularly within that, talking about LGBTQ sexual issues as well, and just sexuality in general, and just making it a part of like the conversation. And then obviously, I mean, I think you can integrate it across everything. Like you can read books that have LGBTQ characters in English classes. You can study the gay rights movement and history. There are so many ways to just like make it a part of the fabric, make LGBTQ mm-hmm. issues a part of the fabric of school, because it's part of the fabric of America and part of the fabric of the world. So kind of ignoring that is stupid.
You mentioned those statistics about children with parents who are intolerant and not welcoming mm-hmm. of their sexuality. Maybe one of the other things I'm just thinking of would be to make sure those statistics get pushed out.
Right.
Because if parents know, because I think a lot of parents who are intolerant, what they're thinking in their head is, if I push back on this, somehow this child is not going to be gay.
Right.
But if what they are able to see is actually what I'm doing is raising the probability that my child will be hurt
right.
themselves, that might change their thinking a little bit.
Yeah. And I think especially with trans youth, that's really important too. And I think that like all of the numbers that you hear are even higher when it comes to youth who are trans, because that also like with marriage equality, gay and lesbian rights have become more in the forefront. And I think that like I've heard a lot of bisexual people who feel very ignored, but I think that just the violence against trans people is insane when you look at it. And I think, and again, yeah, I think there's really this thought of like, this is a phase when kids are starting to like exhibit those behaviors, and parents, you know, like will literally like beat their children to try to like, and I think some of it's not necessarily coming from like a malicious place, but maybe they're like, if I can make this stop, their lives will be easier. But that's so damaging in the long run.
So my other question, and this literally comes out of left field, but, you know, I was reading your book, and you were an undergraduate at Brown. you come from, you know, I think a pretty, from what you describe it, pretty solid, you know, middle class, maybe later upper middle class background. But your family also has clear working class roots, and that's mm-hmm. in your father's forward and your writings too. But I was struck by, as I was reading your book, it seemed like all of your good friends at Brown were incredibly wealthy. And you had this pattern of sort of hanging out with them. And then there's a part in your book where you relate a friend kind of tweaking you about that and your exchange with him about that issue. I wondered if there was anything to that, I was curious about the class element. I don't have a good crisp question on this, but if that somehow interacted with all these other things that were going on, because it did seem like to be this kind of narrative under the narrative, as you were mm-hmm. describing, like, I went here, I flew on this jet, I had this, right. went to this palace, you know, this kind of thing.
Right. Well, I think that the thing with, you know, like the Ivy League and like the American class fabric and kind of like this oligarchy that we don't call an oligarchy, is that, like, traditionally schools like Brown would have been all people like that who are, like, extremely wealthy and extremely influential. And my friend group at Brown was very socioeconomically diverse, but I think definitely tipped toward extreme wealth. But at the same time, I have friends who had almost a complete full ride to Brown based on financial needs. So it really did range so much. And Brown is also a school where I think those issues are talked about more than even like schools like Princeton or Harvard, where they have like eating clubs where it really is just like all rich kids hang out with all rich kids. And then the kids who are there who are not rich kind of all hang out with each other. But yeah, and in particular in the book, it's talked about because my ex-boyfriend during Brown was extremely wealthy, and like that was a real thing, and it's a real issue in the same way that like if you came from an extremely religious family and dated somebody who was extremely secular, you'd have a lot in common in certain ways, and then you'd also have moments where you're like, I don't relate to your experience at all, or like I have these issues that I, you know, like money stressed me out. And without putting like my parents too much on blast or anything, like money stressed them out growing up. So that was like a very real thing. And
well,
like,
it's in the books. So.
Right. I know. and I think a lot of Americans are stressed about money, and like a lot of students now, like I left college with after grad school, I have like $100,000 in student loans. And that's like, crazy when you think about it. And so I think having that stress and then having it juxtaposed to like a lot of my friends who really do have access to limitless amounts of money, and like so like I don't think I fully fleshed out my experience with that yet either, and it is something that I want to explore more moving forward. But it definitely was like a source of just stress at Brown, especially because so many people were able to do whatever they wanted, especially like in this like kind of fast moving partying scene that I was in. And so like I did think about it a lot. But I think the one thing that I would give credit to, or that I really loved about Brown, is that people do talk about it. And I think that like as a society we need to talk about it, because like wealth inequality is only growing, and I think like the current presidency and how he got into that position, and like how this extremely wealthy person relates and I would say manipulates large swaths of working class voters, means that we need to only talk about it more and more. And I just saw this talk the other day between Bernie Sanders and Jimmy Carter, where they were kind of like associating how authoritarianism relates to wealth inequality. So it's definitely an issue we need to keep talking about. And I need to figure out my way of talking about it productively, too.
Well, maybe that's the next book.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, again, Seamus, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.